All right, it's another Wednesday night. You are in the zone here on News Talk 96.1 and AM 1370 WGCL. Dave and Glass with you again on another Wednesday night, and we are, as always, taking your phone calls at 812-333-2665. Plenty to talk about tonight and taking your calls, of course, but we've got Colts camp, we've got IU football camp. High schools are set to kick off their first games this weekend, and we'll have that here for you on WGCL. We've also got news on the IU basketball front. We'll start with that tonight because that's the kind of most definitive, I guess, and concrete at this moment information. Camps, you know, you get a little here and a little there, so some stuff. But what we have for IU basketball is we have the schedule being laid out from the standpoint of games, dates. We don't have times just yet, but when are the Hoosiers playing? Who are they playing on those days? Are they traveling? What are they doing? And we knew that going into the season that the Hoosiers and all the Big Ten would be doing their conference tournament a week early. So that is a week less of their schedule that they have to work with. They've got to fit all this stuff in. And they've talked for a long time about squeezing some games into early December, two in particular for everyone. And we find out what that's going to look like for the Hoosiers. And it jumps off the page pretty quick at you as a Hoosier fan. It's Friday, December 1st through Tuesday, December 5th are the games they are scheduling for the Big Ten. At the beginning of December, and then it picks back up on Tuesday, January 2nd. But for the Hoosiers in particular, Saturday, December 2nd, it is Indiana at Michigan, and Monday, December 14th, that is 2 days later, they come home and face Iowa. And that's the whole, you know, that's the group doing that. That's not just the Hoosiers having to be a quick turnaround like that. And I think you might have an extra day spacing here and there, but That's a day off in between Big Ten games. Saturday at Michigan, Monday home to Iowa. And Glass, that's a big turnaround. I mean, that's an unusual turnaround during the regular season to begin with. And you've got it right off the bat at the beginning of December. And we've already talked about November and December being packed full of games at this point in time, and maybe needing to fit a couple more in there somewhere.
Well, if you like hoops, you're going to have to take your spring break and later April this year, because there's not going to be much other time to look at it. Another great segment of the schedule that pops at me: January 22nd, Maryland; January 24, Illinois; January 28, Purdue; January 30, Ohio State. That's eight games, 4 days. That's pretty
all
heavy.
Around, right? Four games, 8 days.
Four games, 8 days. That's pretty hot. So. That's pretty heavy.
Yeah.
How you look at it, and you've got some firepower in there as well. The Big Ten schedule is never going to be easy. We know why it's compressed. It's compressed because the Big Ten is always looking for other options of expansion.
It's in there. Monday, Wednesday, Sunday, Tuesday.
There you go. The Big Ten is always looking for greener pastures to get their fans able to reach. They're looking for more cable markets to enter, and the tournament. Big Ten tournament this year is at Madison Square Garden. We've talked about this before on the program, but those of you new to this, new to town, welcome aboard. And we have to remember a very important thing. The Big Ten tournament in Madison Square Garden is not the marquee event there this year. Don't tell anybody I said that. The Big East tournament is the proper weekend.
That's their
of
thing,
the
man.
Of the NCAA tournament week, or whatever ESPN has turned that into. The Big Ten tournament will play the week before that, which would usually be the final week of the regular season. So these games we talked about being moved to December 2nd, December 4th, those would have been perhaps the last two games of the Big Ten regular season, if you want to look at it sequentially in that way, shape, or form. So when you don't have that week anymore, now the week after that you're off, so what are you going to do? I don't know. It doesn't look like anything, right? It doesn't. The schedule ends on March 4th. That's Sunday, March 4th. The final day of the Big Ten tournament in Madison Square Garden. There's another week of the college basketball season where the SEC, the Pac-12, the Big East, the SEC, whatever tournaments, the big conferences are left, they're going to play that week just like they normally do. The Big Ten will have the prior week all to themselves, in the sense of they will not be competing on Friday and Saturday and Sunday with any of these other conferences. They will have the full marquee, the bright spotlights of the greatest arena in the world, or the most famous arena in the world, I think is the moniker of Madison Square Garden. So I get why they have done it. The point you made was excellent. This is not an Indiana thing. This is a Big Ten thing.
Yeah.
Every team has to play a compressed schedule. Every team will play these quick turnarounds. Every team will play these games in December. It's not like we lost the draw of lots. It's not like the coin didn't fall our way. It's not like we created this own mess ourselves. What it is what it is. Where's the Big Ten tournament last year? Do you remember? It was in Washington, D.C.,
yes,
right?
D.C.
Okay, so it moves.
Yeah.
The point is, it's not going to be in Madison Square Garden next year. Mm-hmm. So the schedule, in my opinion, should revert to a normal landing point if the Big Ten decides to go back to the United Center,
yeah,
or Bankers Life Fieldhouse, whatever that contract says. I don't have that in front of me. I don't know that right now. But this sounds to be a one-year-only deal. And I can live with that if it's a one-year deal.
Yeah.
Because they are going back. It's not a multi-year deal with Madison Square Garden. I know that for a fact.
You know, I'll talk more about why and whether this is smart later. I want to real quickly go back to the group thing that you show, because I'm going to add something onto that. Here is January 19th is a Friday. We play at Michigan State.
Correct.
Monday, home to Maryland. Wednesday, at Illinois. Sunday, home to Purdue. Tuesday, at Ohio State. That is right there. That's a week and a half.
That's
a week and a half between the 19th of January and the the Tuesday, the 30th.
You go 5 games in 11 days, 4 games in 8 days, however you want to do the math on it.
Three of those on the road. I mean, obviously, you got to play on the road and you got to play at home. But there's two-day turnaround. Well, one-day turnaround, one-two-day turnaround. Two-day turnarounds. Jeez, I mean.
Well, that's what it
is. That's a lot.
You're not used to seeing it.
That is a lot.
You're going to get your break if you're an IU basketball fan from December 21st to December 29th, because that's going to be, I would guess, the – I don't have that in front of me. I'm going to pull a calendar up real quick. I want to see where finals are, because this is going
to before that
cramp
week,
finals.
Think,
They're going to play the 21st, which is Thursday. The last final, I believe, would be – I don't think that's going to be right. The finals week is before that?
It's always before Christmas. It's
well,
not,
you'll
it's
have
not
a,
too far
You'll have
before.
A game on 18 Monday, or you'll have a game on – let's see. The 9th and 16th. There you go. There's finals week. They'll play on the 9th, Louisville, followed by the 16th, Notre Dame. So finals week will be the 11th, 12th, 13th, 14th, and 15th. Then they will play the 16th, 18th, 21st, go away for 8 days, come back the 29th. There's your get the Christmas turkey off your behind before you open with
Wisconsin.
Where?
Not here.
There.
Yeah.
And then that follows is followed by Minnesota there, where the Hoosiers historically have not had some of their better games over the years. So a very interesting way this is coming about. We opined earlier in the summer when we saw all these dates starting to get filled at certain times by exhibitions, the four-team mini tournament, which isn't a tournament. They're all played here in Bloomington. We knew that was going to take up some dates. We knew we didn't have many options left. We know finals week, they will not play. It will not happen.
Mm-hmm.
And that is true. They have stuck to that, the 9th, then the 16th. So that's standard operating procedure there. So you lose – that week's always gone. So you didn't really lose that week. That's that's normally there, but you do lose the week. The end.
You could do it, but it wasn't going to be the Big Ten anyways.
The regular season, last week of the regular season, now simply to remember this, the last week of the quote-unquote regular season in the Big Ten in the old days for this year will be the conference tournament championship
and
in Madison Square Garden.
Beginning of February, you've got a Saturday, Monday, Friday. So that's what shows up here,
Friday.
Too, are some Friday games shoved in here. Ohio State at Indiana is near the end of the season. That's on a Friday.
February 23rd.
There aren't a lot of Friday games on here, but there are some. Monday nights, again, we're back to Mondays. Now, it's been years since, that included the Big Ten. But
what that's going to get you.
You're playing every night. Somebody's playing almost every night at this point in time.
Yep, and that gets you on a TV night perhaps where you're known not to play, and then you find some other viewership, other eyes that maybe you haven't drawn before. So the unintended consequences of this, I'd love to hear the response on the student athlete having to deal with all this.
Right.
But I think that ship has sailed to
the Friday, January 19th, you got Indiana at Michigan State, Illinois at Wisconsin. I mean, I assume there's an ESPN
doubleheader
to that. Those are two nice-looking
games there.
Yeah, exactly.
So it's going to be interesting.
Even the bowl games are done by
then. And I tell you what, I'm going to speak for some IU fans, and if you don't agree with me, call us, 812-333-266. I will gladly watch IU basketball on Friday nights.
Oh, sure.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I'm going to watch them on Friday.
You know what? Put it at 9 o'clock.
Yeah.
Have it start at 9:18. That is a
I mean, you can't argue it's a national window that's great compared to some of the other ones.
Hey.
But I don't care. I'm watching all your football. I'm watching all your basketball.
We gave you the national window in the 80s and 90s at 9:30 on Monday nights. We did our time.
Yeah, right.
So a Friday night game here or there, that's not going to bother me.
Yeah.
Because that's
something. It's a good travel night for IU fans.
It's maybe you get some folks
Saturday
going,
and Sunday.
You make a weekend of it or whatever. But here's the point. The point is, you're not running back to work the next day after a double overtime game at Penn State, which gets done at 10:45, 11:30 at night.
Mm-hmm.
So there is some good stuff out of it. Maybe that helps the student-athlete as well a little bit. I don't know how many of them have Friday classes or their schedules are designed that way. Maybe that is an unintended thing.
I'm not seeing Friday-Sunday type flip-arounds. I am seeing Friday-Monday. Indiana has a Friday-Monday.
Friday-Monday-Wednesday. Friday-Monday-Wednesday is...
But not Friday, Sunday, which is at least another day, you know.
But what it is, it's you're going to have depth. You're going to have kids that can play.
Mm-hmm.
When you turn them around this quickly, if you go on the road in the Big Ten. Name an easy road game in the Big Ten.
Well, let's just talk
there
about.
There aren't any.
Let's just talk about practice a little bit.
There isn't any practice.
I mean, where are you going to go hard in a schedule where you've got five games in 11 days, three of them on the road?
Finals week and
that's
in the 21st.
And maybe that's okay. Maybe that's better.
Christmas.
I don't know that's a bad thing.
Here's what I know: coaches like practice, kids like to play games.
Right.
So in part of that, in between, if you only have 2 days in between games, well, one day is treatment. The other day is a walkthrough. I don't know how much you're going to get done with that. So this is going to be even more important to get your whenever the magic date is now. I don't think it's October 15th anymore when Midnight Madness at 12:01 starts. But whenever that magic mountain hits, it's time to go.
Yeah.
And there is no, hey, we can do this and do that. And well, maybe we'll put some zone in later in the year. When are you going to do it?
Right, exactly.
Well, maybe we're going to put in some press, some full court press later. So that's going to be really interesting how it works. The good news is it's chaos for all. It's not chaos picked out individually or groups, or the West or the East had to deal with it this year and the West or the East deals with it next year. It's across the board. Mm-hmm. I can live with that.
Right.
And I can live with it for 1 year because the contract, I'm positive, the Big Ten is not playing multiple years in a row at Madison Square Garden.
Early, correct.
So this will change moving somewhere else because nobody else is hosting in the rotation. They normally have the Big Ten men's basketball tournament at the time it's usually requested. So Archie Miller gets a start with a very interesting schedule. He said earlier in the summer it wasn't going to be something that IU fans would say, wow, that's great, or wow, it's just, they had to put it together. It got late. It had to get done. They have no bearing, does Indiana, on what the conference does. Zero, nada, zilch. If the conference had to listen to 14 teams' individual requests for when they can and when they can, it would never happen.
No, of course not.
We're trying to explain to you how this is all put together, why it's done, and what it sounds like it's going to be done once. So it's inconvenient to a degree, but who's your fans? I don't think there's going to be a whole lot of them, Dave. They're going to be upset at 8 o'clock on a Friday night, 9 o'clock on a Friday night. Hoosiers tipping off a conference opponent, big game. I'd take Friday night at 9 o'clock for noon on Saturday any day of the week times two.
I agree, and you mentioned it. It's interesting. Would Hoosier fans be upset? I don't see why Hoosier fans would be upset by Friday, Monday, Wednesday, Sunday, Tuesday. I think they question and they wonder how the team's going to respond to it. Is it enough time? They're going to ask those questions. But hell, I'll watch all those games.
Well, you're going to watch all the games anyhow. But what's tough is Monday night got to go to work Tuesday.
Right.
Wednesday night got to go to work Thursday. Right. So that's tough if you have to do that in that sense, or if you have kids, or if you're running around with all that.
Well, the nice thing is basketball. It's not the Monday night football where it's on until 1 a.m. most likely.
The one thing that we've always been used to is one midweek game, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and one weekend game, either Saturday or Sunday. Mm-hmm. I don't like 6:30 on Sunday. I'll do 8 o'clock on Friday.
Yeah, our worst case scenario is you might have had a Saturday in the last couple of years. That doesn't happen often.
That's a made-for-switch over to TV type deal. But then again, you usually play Saturday night after that. So
I mean, they give you, this is not that kind of leeway, but it's challenging.
And you know what the other interesting part of this is? When you play the Big Ten tournament, if you're not in the top four seeds, you're playing 3 days in a row anyhow.
Mm-hmm.
When you go to the NCAA tournament, you're playing a regional Thursday, Saturday, or Friday, Sunday. So there's something to be said that if you get to that point, it's not going to be, whoa, hey, it's a quick turnaround. The only teams that come off the top of my head, the old Big Monday games that were last year, where the late game was the Big 12, where it was always Kansas versus somebody.
Right, exactly.
But they always played on the weekend.
Mm-hmm.
So they'd play Saturday 2 o'clock and then play Monday 9 o'clock. So they've been doing this.
Yeah, no question.
So I don't think we should make this out as woe is me or anything else. Mm-hmm. It's just not what we're used to. So it is different and change is different. I don't like having two weekday games if you're going to try to sell me this is good for the student athlete.
Yeah,
I don't buy that. And if two of them are on the road, that's travel Sunday, that's travel. Yeah, you just that I'm not buying. But for a 1 year one-off thing, I get it. I get why they have to do it. You can't add an extra week to the season for your conference. It runs into the tournament. We know that. They chose to play at Madison Square Garden. They knew when the building was available. Mm-hmm. They made that choice, signed that contract, and this is the repercussions of it. Some of it good, some of it eh, but I don't think it's anything terrible where it's going to create a season-long problem for any team.
Well,
you adapt to it and get after it.
I haven't gone through it in the entirety here, but I don't think you're going to see any 6 days off like you occasionally get during the old
bye
seasons.
Week. The bye week is gone.
One thing that's interesting, the final weekend of the season, IU is the first game of the season, of that weekend.
Great.
Friday night, Ohio State at home here in Bloomington. There's one game Saturday, and then the rest of the conference plays Sunday.
Super.
Big Ten tournament starts the following Wednesday.
That gets us to New York quicker.
You're looking at rest.
Gets us an extra day quicker.
Exactly right.
Right. So there's a little break in it. So if you want to really break it down, a little bit of a break on that. Mm-hmm. And when do you want your break?
That's when you want your break. Yeah, no kidding.
Right
before, after all those games.
Right before you're going to get prepared to win a conference championship. So that's the exciting part there. So the new schedule is up. You can find it at iuhoosiers.com. I'll put it on WGCL's Facebook page.
Of course, I go into that weekend, Saturday, Tuesday, Friday.
Well, you give to get.
That's a giveaway.
There it is.
It'll be interesting. I mean, it's completely different than we're used to. I'm not sure, like you said, I don't think it's a bad thing.
I just don't like the 2 weekday games.
It will be exhausting. I'm with you, though. I mean, Monday, Wednesday, that's tight.
Especially for a student. Guess when you're going to class. You usually free up the weekend so you can travel on Friday to play on Saturday.
Yeah, it'd be interesting to see if those are close. Like the Monday game is Maryland here, and the Wednesday game is at Illinois. So
not
from
bad.
A travel standpoint,
well, travel's not bad any days. These guys hop on what's the word I'm looking for? Charters.
Sure.
I was thinking corporate. Well, they're kind of like corporate.
Yeah.
Charter jets. So it's not like they have to sit in the Detroit airport and if the flight snowed out, they sit there for 12 hours.
I know,
how it works. It's good with the lovely world that is technology. They don't have to carry their books with them. They take their iPad with them. They can watch film like that. They can study like that. They have training tables and study tables on the road. All that is just a new wrinkle in this. And Archie Miller's first year, want to get a little taste of the Big Ten.
Hey.
You get Duke at home with the number one recruit in the country coming to town.
Yep.
You get that. You get a compacted Big Ten schedule. You get your first Big Ten tournament at Madison Square Garden.
Yep.
Are the stars lining up? Are they getting here?
Jump in the deep end, buddy.
Let's go. And you know what? That's what Indiana basketball should be. It should be in the deep end. We should be talking about big opponents. We should be talking about big stages, Big Ten, whatever that little moniker they have. Mm-hmm. If the shoe fits, wear it. That's why you came here to coach. That's why you come here. That's why we're fans of it. We've been in the big time for a long time, and there's plenty more to come.
Yeah, so again, the Big Ten schedule is out. It is compressed. Starts January 2nd for most of the games, but there is a compressed period December 1st through the 5th where everybody will play two games. And those games for Indiana are at Michigan on Saturday, the 2nd of December, and home to Iowa Monday, December 4th. Saturday, Monday at the beginning of December in the Big Ten. One home, one road. And everybody's going to do it. Got to take a quick break. 812-333-2665 is the phone number. David Glass with you in the zone. Back in the zone with Dave and Glass on News Talk 96.1 and AM 1370 WGCL. Programming notes for you. 8 o'clock tonight, we got Reds baseball. They are in Chicago facing the Cubbies.
Got a great outing last night. Luis Castillo went 6 strong for them. The rookie didn't get any decision. He left the game at 0-0. Reds get 1 in the 8th, 1 in the 9th. Listen to this stat. This is amazing. Joey Votto has reached base more than once in a game for 20 consecutive games.
Wow.
Yes.
Reached base twice.
Twice. Multiple times.
In a game. 20 consecutive games.
Pete Rose, Barry Bonds.
Wow.
And if he does it tonight, he ties Ted Williams for the all-time Major League Baseball. Think about that. Yeah, he was 0-for-3 the other day. I come on here Monday morning and say, well, Joey Votto's streak ended. Well, he's 0-for-3 with 2 walks.
With 2 walks, yeah. That's on base.
I just figured he didn't get on base.
The idea is to get base runners.
And guess what happens
and
when you keep
hopefully figuring, drive them home.
When you figure. Tonight, John Lackey for the reigning world champions against Homer Bailey. Bailey has been up and down, up and down. The ERAs in this are 8 and change in almost 5. The wind's blowing out at Wrigley tonight. You might have a very interesting game on your hands. The good news is Reds have split the first two, and a day game tomorrow will wrap up the 4-game series in Chicago. Obviously, we will not carry that one for you. The Reds will return with the Cubs.
I'll make sure of that.
I think Interleague's done.
Yeah.
Next Tuesday in Cincinnati, that will be our next Reds broadcast. After tonight's pregame, Marty Brenneman, 8 p.m. right here on WGCL. Listen to Joey Votto make history.
Yeah,
major.
Yeah.
That's since
it's pretty amazing. That's amazing.
This
number.
Century.
Yeah. Yeah.
And, again, the bright spot for the Reds has been Votto at the plate. Scooter Gennett, he's had a very solid year as well. And then Raisel Iglesias, the closer. He had to get 5 outs last night through 37 pitches. I'm guessing you won't hear his name called this evening. Then a busy Friday night as we open the curtain on the 2017 high school football season. Where are we going?
We're going to Brownsburg. Bloomington South goes on the road to face the 6A Brownsburg Bulldogs. They faced last season. They faced off last season here in Bloomington. It was a 28-26 South loss, but
late two-point conversion. They could have forced overtime. That game was not
very
out of
hard, line. Hard fought. Brownsburg jumped all over the Panthers. It was 21-0 in the first quarter. A big play, an 85-yard touchdown pass was sprinkled in there by the Bulldogs. But the South defense started getting a lot of pressure on the quarterback at Brownsburg. This kid was a top recruit in the nation and went to Clemson. South defense turned him around, put him on the ground, and Brownsburg did not score again until there was a minute and a half left in the game. That put him up 8 at that time. Panthers scored with 20 seconds left and did not get the two-point conversion. So they lost by 2, but they got a chance to avenge that. And it's a good team in Brownsburg. It's a really good South team right now.
It is.
Talk to Coach Mo today for our pregame show, and they're all excited to get going. They feel good about their defense.
And if you subscribe to the Indy Star, Greg Doyle has just wrote a big feature on Brownsburg's quarterback that we'll see with our own two eyes here in a couple of nights. Brownsburg ranked in the 6A poll to get things started?
They are not ranked. In preseason, there was a poll, I think, that had them as getting a couple votes.
Losing that big quarterback is going to be the
They lost the quarterback.
Issue.
Now, here's the thing. This is a good football team. They've got a good defense.
They
bring back
a
lot of guys.
Sectional too.
They've got some Division I recruits on both sides of the ball. They've got a wide receiver that IU is recruiting as a junior. They've got a couple kids at their skill positions, including that kid that can play.
And a big defensive player, too, Montrez Brown. Yeah.
Yeah, a couple of them, a defensive lineman and a defensive back, I believe. So they've got some talent, no question about that. And, Panthers are not afraid about challenging themselves.
No, they're not. The Panthers are going to play a handful, a half
they
dozen.
They do in the conference, yeah.
Of 6A.
6A teams. Uh-huh.
And you've got to get ready for that speed. And and they showed that. Who did they decide to scrimmage against? Not a 4A
Lawrence
team.
Central.
Not a 5A team. Yeah. The sixth ranked team in Class 6A.
They're going to be one of the better teams in 6A this year. I think they were 6-5 maybe last year, but they're pretty good too. So
Dave and I will be in Brownsburg with you. Chalk Talk with Dave and Coach Mo begins at 6:30, and we'll have the call shortly after 7 o'clock. We hope the weather is very similar to today in the sense that we haven't seen any thunderstorms moving through the area. That's
knock on wood. The forecast looks good.
That's always a pop up this time of year when it gets that hot. So that's a busy Friday night, and then Saturday the Colts return to the airwaves. Kind of a quick turnaround, a little Sunday afternoon, then a Saturday night, down to Dallas to Jerry's World in lovely Arlington to take on the Cowboys. Bob Lamey's pregame begins at 6 o'clock. Colts and Cowboys exhibition football, game number 2 coming up Saturday night. Your exclusive home for Colts football in Monroe County is News Talk 96.1 and AM 1370 WGCL. The only thing we know for sure about Saturday night's game is Andrew Luck will not be playing.
Right.
That's about it. The Colts had some serious issues against Detroit. Some of those were self-inflicted by pitch counts, guys not being given a lot of time because of injury, guys missing the game because of injury as well. But one major development, Dave, out of the Colts-Detroit game that we talked about for a while on Monday was T.J. Green.
Yeah.
The second-round pick, the safety out of Clemson, is no longer a safety.
Well, we don't know, but what they're doing
it sure sounds like he's not.
Yeah, they're moving him or at least looking at him a corner. Now, he started at Clemson, I think, as a wide receiver and then pretty quickly moved to corner, and it was late at Clemson that he moved to safety. But, he's got the big body of a safety. But you know what? People have been wanting big corners for a long time, especially athletic guys. There's always different kind of minor skill sets. They always talk about kind of hip turn and flexibility and that sort of thing when it comes to corners, because you do have to turn directions on a dime a lot more at that position to follow your guy than maybe at a safety position. But he's got all the, you know, all the athletic pieces. And I asked this a week or two ago, you know, with TJ Green. Are you going to try to get him right now, if he's behind mentally in all the complexity that you do at the safety position and everything you got to be in charge of, are you going to maybe think about just giving him something simpler, giving him something easier, and let him follow a guy all over the field? Because he's got the skill to do it. That doesn't mean he's Vontae Davis. Let's not make him out to be, you know, a shutdown corner right this minute or anything like that. But he does have those skills that can do it. So I say give him a run at that. See if he can run it. And if he does, you got a 6'3", 210-pound corner that runs like the Dickens and can hit you too. That's a damn good thing to have for this team.
Well, and that's the point. He started playing some cornerback yesterday at practice. He was back at it today, reports Stephen Holder from the Indianapolis Star. He's there. He's at practice. I'm trusting his eyes. He knows what he's talking about football. Defensive coordinator Ted Monachino, calls it cat coverage. You got that cat, I got
that's
that
right.
cat,
go after
and
it.
Let's go play ball.
And yeah, it's taking a lot of the complexity out of your head. And sometimes you need a reset like that. And look, if the kid is in a safety, fine. Put him at corner, use his athleticism to run around a corner.
Vontae Davis, they've got young corners as well.
Exactly.
Moving Darius Butler back to safety and shifting Green into the slot or wherever else could work.
Think of the defense that beat Tom Brady in Denver to give Peyton Manning his final Super Bowl. It had four cornerbacks that were as good as them. If you can put three and four corners out there that can cover well, that's the way the NFL is going to be for the near future, given all the spread offenses that are coming out here. Obviously, there'll be reactions to that eventually, but in the meantime, everybody's trying to spread you out. You need more guys up in their faces. You can't sit back in four deep coverage and hope you hit everybody. They'll gain 18 yards every time.
And as Holder accurately pointed out, you know Green's 6'3", 211.
Mm-hmm.
He runs a 4.34.
Fast.
40.
Real fast.
So why would you want to put him on the bench? Well, he can't give up pass interference penalties, late hit penalties, not knowing where he is in coverage from the safety position.
Mm-hmm.
But you can use all that somewhere else.
He doesn't have to be your best corner. He needs to be, if you're going to play him, your third or fourth best corner in those packages. That's the whole point.
And if he plays himself in there, yeah. Great. Yeah. Quincy Wilson.
And he's big enough, you can blitz him if he's on the slot, too, and throw some
looks
at him.
You drafted.
Mm-hmm. You've got Vontae Davis.
You've got Darius
Rashawn
Butler.
And Butler's playing safety right now because you need him there.
And you can find some guys that can help out at that position and get on the field, because he makes plays. He just doesn't make all the right plays. We heard today after IU football practice, when we talked to running backs coach Mike Hart, how many football running backs does IU have? 37.
Yeah.
Hey, coach, what's separating each guy? The one word he pounded into it, didn't matter how you asked him the question. He said, guys, you're not going to get anything out of me. I'm taking the guy that's most consistent. He said, you might see a guy break a 40-yard run, but if he gives up two sacks the next
exactly
two plays,
right.
That's not helping our football
you
team.
You can't hurt yourself first and foremost.
You can't trade that.
Yeah, you can't.
It's not a tradable deal. So he
and
says,
because they all can make plays.
But I thought the interesting part was, and this kind of goes to what you're saying, the best running back talent-wise doesn't mean he's the best running back that plays down after down, because if you don't know your blocking assignment or you can't pick up pass rush, Josh Ferguson, you're not going to
play.
So you have to find a way to contribute. Mm-hmm. And if Green can contribute as a slot corner, because he's hugely physical.
Yes.
You want to put him out on the island and let him run for days? Well, he's 4.34.
How about a tight end?
Who wants a matchup? You'll never see a tight end ever again.
Exactly.
If he can handle it there, and like Monachino said, cat coverage. I got
cover.
This cat.
Yeah, exactly.
Do that.
Yeah.
And don't worry about anything else, mm-hmm. and see if that works, because those numbers we just told you about, 6'3", 211, 4.34, you can't quit.
Yeah.
You can't just get mad at him and say, we're benching him until he figures it out. No. You can help out in other ways, shapes, and forms. You can play special teams. You can do plenty of things to help out moving forward. So I thought that was interesting, because the Colts are seeing a little bit of what Joe Sixpack Fan is seeing. Say, hey, Green's just Maybe that's not the position for him. So find a different position for him. It's not the end of the world.
Look, I think this is a relatively easy thing to try, and I'm glad they tried it because and continue to try it because it just makes more sense. I mean, you've got too good of an athlete that and yes, you've invested in him, but he's still too good of an athlete to just just say, no, the safety thing isn't working. Forget about it.
But the criticism of being not up to par as a safety that we kind of gave it to him on Monday. Mm-hmm. Well, look what the Colts have done.
Yeah, exactly.
That's what happened. They recognize that that's not working out the best for their defense right now.
Yep.
And they've got so many new guys on defense.
Everybody needs
corners. And so many different schemes on defense. You've got – how many returners do you have? Davis?
Yeah.
Butler?
Yeah.
Help me out.
Nobody else is gone. Yeah, everybody else is gone.
Nobody in the line.
Farley was on the roster.
I mean, Morrison was there.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's not a lot of – hey, we've got
on the whole
system
defense
turnover.
Yeah, I mean, Edwin Jackson played the second half
a little
of the season.
Bit.
But
Melvin at corner, a little bit.
Right. Well,
so
none of the outside
you're putting
guys.
Putting in new things because the old things obviously didn't work. It didn't get the Colts where they needed to go. And the Colts defense, don't look up the numbers. Don't do it. You're having an otherwise nice, warm Wednesday afternoon. Don't. They need to get better. They need different ways to get better. And the other part of this as well, with Scott Tolzien, the quarterback until further notice.
Yeah.
And 34-year-old Frank Gore in a line that's banged up where Jack Muhort's got something again and Haig didn't play and you've got a guy off the street playing center. The defense is going to have to stand up at some point and not get run off the field.
Yeah, it's got to help you early in the season.
Oh,
and it's got to because
the quarterbacks they have coming against them, if it doesn't then
exactly.
They're in
that,
big
that, that's
big
the other
trouble.
Point is that there aren't a lot of potent offenses coming in early. You got Arizona could be, but the other ones are not. And so you got to make your hay early. And look at the other at cornerback position. I mean, you got Quincy Wilson. They obviously like him. They're throwing him right
Malik
out there
Hooker,
to begin with.
He's healthy. They like what they've seen from
Hooker's
him.
Hooker's now in practice again.
Good.
You've got exciting bodies there. I mean, the TJ Green thing isn't going to make or break this team, but giving him something that is going to be a way for him to positively contribute is important right now. And you certainly don't want to let the kid go. He's too talented.
No.
I haven't heard a bad thing about the kid himself.
About
so.
Green?
Yeah.
No, just some questionable decision-making is a little questionable. And you know what? It's probably a 50-50. Am I supposed to be here? Am I supposed to be there? I'm just going to run fast over there and blow a guy up.
But
and he's
questionable
2 yards
decision-making as far as 5 yards here, 5 yards there is different than being out at 3 a.m. at a bar kind
and
of decision-making.
That's exactly different, and that's exactly good. Eric Swope, the tight end, he had knee surgery. He's out. You can just keep
– we don't know how long that's going to be.
Keep throwing it against the wall. But I think the biggest concern right now for the Colts is the offensive line with Tolzien at quarterback.
Yeah.
And your center is literally a guy that's an undrafted free agent that's trying to make a football team.
Right.
And there's not plan B right now. You talk about cornerbacks being in need. Mm-hmm. Centers just aren't floating around the NFL.
Right.
Those are guys that you're either going to move in from guard and hope they take. I mean, we sat here and went through A.Q. Shipley, Jonathan Harrison, Samson Satele.
Yeah, right.
And it was in 3 games.
Yeah, right.
Not a season.
Right.
In 3 games.
They tried to bring
games.
A guy in 2 years ago. He retired before he ever got to camp.
There you go.
It's the offensive line has been talked about too much over the last couple of years to like hearing all of these injury issues right now. Now, none of them seem to be long term. We don't know for sure about Kelly, how long that's going to be. But, I mean, again, you're trying to fix that spot. And if you're continuing to talk about multiple injuries there, then it's not fixed. Now, is that unfortunate? Yeah, a little bit. But
well,
you'd like to get some good news.
Here's what's unfortunate. Tight end problem. Swope.
Yeah.
Hey, who's playing for New England now?
Yeah, Dwayne Allen. Sure. Right.
Okay, well, that's an issue.
Mm-hmm.
Marlon Mack, your fifth-round draft pick,
right.
who has taken the most snaps at running back behind Gore and Turbin in camp, well, he's out.
Yeah.
And then Schwenke's supposed to be back, kind of. You never know with linemen.
Let's think
back
to a week and a half ago
when
they were talking about having this big physical camp and how unusual it was.
Knees and feet and things like that.
Was that a bad idea, maybe?
Yeah, you never know until you know when you do it.
Right.
You want to set a tempo. You want to set this. You want to set that. But the Colts' injury list is growing. That's Philip Dorsett hasn't practiced in 2 weeks.
Yeah, it says here he just came back.
Just came back.
Just
but you know what
back,
that means?
Yeah.
If you
he
have
hasn't
a hamstring,
been here.
Well, he hasn't been here.
Yeah.
Chester Rogers limps off today. Chester Rogers catches a ball on the 3-yard line, gets to the 6, 9, fielding a punt. That's not a good decision. Now he's injured. So you've got all these competitions going, or you want to create all these competitions, and now you just have guys that you have Dante Moncrief, T.Y. Hilton, the kid they brought in, I can't pronounce his name.
Yeah, that's about it.
At wide receiver, and then they talk about this JoJo Doctin kid who's 142 pounds.
Natson, the little kid. The flea.
The flea.
Yeah.
We thought Shane Wynn was small. He weighs 164.
Kamar Aiken.
Kamar Aiken's the other kid that you need to keep an eye on. So don't if Swope's out, Jack Doyle shouldn't play ever again in the preseason.
Yeah, I don't know.
How is that going to work?
And Swope was a guy that was a project to a degree.
He was, but enough to get rid of Dwayne Allen.
Because he was a basketball player. But, yeah, I mean, the big money for Dwayne is what helped doom him a little bit, too, that and some injuries. So, I mean, you got to wait and see there. That's too bad because those two guys were weapons. I mean, they really were, Doyle and Swope. And you may not have thought it going in just because of who they are, but they had been. I mean, they've caught some big plays.
They open up the field to expand it down the field.
Yep.
For guys like T.Y. Hilton, Moncrief, Dorsett, if he has any – speed left if he's hamstring hurt.
Right.
Oh, the Colts. Well, we got a full season of them. We'll have it right for you on WGC.
There you go. Got to take a quick break. 812-333-2665 is the phone number. Dave and Glass with you in the zone. Back in the zone with Dave and Glass on News Talk 96.1 and AM 1370 WGCL. 812-333-2665 is the phone number. And, you know, we only got a couple minutes here, Glass, so I want to get back to the Big Ten schedule thing with Indiana. And
sure.
Just to reiterate for everyone, the Big Ten has announced the days that all of the Big Ten teams are going to play.
No game times yet.
Because it is compacted because of the Big Ten tournament and because they moved a couple games for each team in the Big Ten up into the beginning of December, there are some tight time frames on this, including, again, I'll give you one major example here. Starting on January 19th, this is a Friday, Indiana plays Friday at Michigan State, Monday home to Maryland, Wednesday at Illinois, Sunday home to Purdue, Tuesday at Ohio State. Friday, Monday, Wednesday, Sunday, Tuesday. That's about 11 days and five games. So there are some compact areas in here. There's several Friday games being played throughout the season. Monday games. They're playing every day of the week at this point in time. It's definitely unusual for Indiana and Big Ten fans. And again, the first two games for Indiana are going to be Saturday, December 2nd at Michigan, and Monday, December 4th, home to Iowa. Saturday, Monday, at the beginning of December. You know, it's not that hard for Indiana fans to get used to watching IU basketball games because that's what they want to see. But it is a very different schedule.
It sure is, and we'll get used to it. And by the time we get used to it, guess what? It will go back to the
It'll
old
change.
Schedule. And as an update, I looked at Zach Kiefer from the Indy Star too. And the reason I'm bringing this up, Malik Hooker injured shoulder,
hurt, of course,
out for a second straight day.
Shocking.
So now it's a different injury.
Shocking.
And those are facts, folks. And
well,
that's frustrating. Colts Dallas, 6 o'clock.
Let's
Saturday.
Back up for 1 second to what we were talking about then earlier. If they're moving T.J. Green to corner to work at,
that moves Darius Butler.
There's a number of reasons for that, and the first one is that they don't like what he's doing at corner or at safety rather, or they feel okay with the bodies that they have. Now, if Malik Hooker goes out, they probably don't love that, but you can always put T.J. Green back at safety for a little while after a break. But they like Darius Butler and they like Mathias Farley at the very least. Love him? That I don't know. I doubt it.
Him. You love the healthy guy.
You'd love the guys you drafted high to be there all the time.
You do, but once the season starts, you can't worry about winning the draft. You need to win football
games.
Exactly. Chris Ballard has nothing to do with how the team plays on the field. The coaches obviously have to deal with the pieces he has provided them. But we're getting into a point now in camp where the guys that are available on the open market have been cut by other teams because they haven't fit their plans. If you want to find your Yogi Ferrell story in there, mm-hmm. you probably can. Is it likely? Probably not. Yeah. Unless a guy and a coach didn't get along who's got some talent
right.
and you're willing to take a shot on him. But again, this is the tough part. T.J. Green. Second round pick, struggling to find a spot. Hey, let's try a cornerback. Cool, I'm with it. Malik Hooker, 15th overall pick in the draft, has had shoulder issues, has had, what do you have, hernia?
Mm-hmm.
He had an ankle. I mean, it just, they're not even, if that's physical practice, I don't know. What are the games going to do to these guys? My goodness.
That's exactly right.
So you've got Philip Dorsett, who's hurt. Chester Rogers, who's hurt. Eric Swope, who's hurt. The two centers are hurt. This is a crisis.
Yeah.
I don't know how you fix it. That's the problem.
All right. Look, I'm going.
Thankfully, you got a month till the season starts.
Big picture here for a second, and we don't have nearly enough time to cover
this. Get me out of August in one piece, please, because the last exhibition game is the 31st.
Isn't this just another brick in the Chuck Pagano wall? This is the most physical practice they've ever had, and they can't keep anybody healthy?
Is there going to come a point where you look at Pagano and say, it's too bad he didn't have a healthy Andrew Luck for X amount of time?
There's some
is
of that, that.
Is that part of
there's
it?
There's some of that.
But I think the problem is, at some point...
I mean, okay, it wasn't his fault his offensive line stunk because they didn't address it properly.
But he is a defensive mind, and his defense has stunk.
Yeah.
Now, you've lost the general manager.
Right.
You've brought in a new general manager.
You got rid of the general manager.
Well, at some point, Pagano's team on the field...
I mean, he obviously got a new lease on life by getting rid of Ryan Grigson. I mean,
he did.
They said he's the guy. It's we need new people, and therefore you're going to get another chance.
He got a new lease on life from his owner when they had the Kumbaya meeting.
That's what I mean.
They both got to stay.
Right.
And then after that...
He got another one.
He has survived all the coup attempts on the Palace.
Correct.
At some point, and this year might be the some point...
Right.
If this team doesn't... If everybody's hurt... I can't throw that all on them, but if everybody's hurt because those who know say practice is killing guys,
right,
then I do throw it on him.
Well, again, he's...
That's part of it. He's putting that together.
He said this is a physical camp.
Now, if his if his general manager said, I'm here now and this is how I want you to run your camp. Well, if he does...
Be.
But my point is, if he does what his general manager says...
If he does that,
That's the issue. So it is a little wonky, but we're talking about not just... We're talking about... Every position.
Right.
We're not talking about one position being dinged up. We're talking about all kinds.
You don't have your quarterback. You don't have your starting center or another starting lineman.
And
you don't have
fair,
a backup wide receiver. You don't have two starting safeties potentially.
And the only
linebacker.
The only free pass he gets is the quarterback.
Right.
That's the quarterback electing to have surgery on February 1st. Or
because he needed
was.
It because you beat him up for three years with a lousy offensive line.
And that general manager's gone.
And so is
Howard Mudd. And so is... And it goes on
as the world turns.
But it's not as easy as having a healthy quarterback save your franchise in the NFL. Boy, it sure does help.
Yeah, no kidding.
But you have to have all the pieces.
Hey, folks, music means we got to head on out of here. Again, programming notes for you. We got Reds baseball at 8 o'clock. They are up at Wrigley. And a reminder, we got Colts preseason at Dallas, 6 o'clock on Saturday. And join us Friday night, 6:30 Chalk Talk, 7 o'clock kickoff. South is at Brownsburg. Glass and I will be on the call for you there. So tune in for all of that. And we will talk to you Monday. You've been in the Zone.